see the argument in symbolic mode, which indicates that the user has read-write-execute permissions, the group has read and execute permissions, and everyone else has read and execute permissions. Now, Bob creates a directory called a directory using the makedirectory command, mkdir, and he creates a file using the touch command called a file. If Bob now runs the ls-l command, he will see that this directory has the two items that he just created. The first, a directory, with the permission string rwx, r-x, r-x, and a file called a file with the permission string of rw-, r-, r-. Bob now deletes these items using the remove directory command rmdir and the remove file command rm. Bob changes the default mode using umask 007. Now if he runs the umask command again, he gets a return that says 0007. If he wanted to see it in symbolic mode, he'd run umask-s and get a result back that shows user rwx, g rwx, and o nothing, indicating that the user and the group both have read, write, and execute permissions, but everyone else has no access whatsoever. Now, if he were to recreate the directory in the file that he previously deleted and did the ls-l command again, he would see that their permissions have changed. The directory now has rwx, rwx, dash, 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 and the file has rw dash, rw dash, 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 dash. For more information on the umask mode, other permission modes, special file permissions, the binary number system, or SE Linux and ACLs, visit our online companion at www.linuxtrainingacademy.com/LFB. Finding files. If you ever need to locate a file or directory, you can use the find command. It can be used to find files by name, size, permissions, owner, modification time, and more. The command is entered as follows: find, and then a given path, and then an expression. This command recursively finds files in that path that match that expression. If no arguments are supplied, that is, no path or no expression, it finds all the files in the current directory. Here are some useful ways in which to use the find command. Find dot dash name pattern. This displays files whose name matches a pattern. This is case sensitive. Find dot dash I name pattern. This is the same argument as dash name, but ignores case. Find dot dash ls. This performs an ls on each of the found files or directories. Find dot dash m time and the number of days. This will find any files that are a certain number of days old. Find dot dash size and then a number. This will find files that are of a given size. Find dot dash newer and then a file name. This command finds files that are newer than the given file. Find dot dash exec command open and close brackets backslash semicolon. This will run a given command against all the files that are found. Let's look at a couple of examples. Let's say you are looking for a file or directory named Apache. You think it is in slash opt somewhere, and are not quite sure if it is Apache with an uppercase A or Apache with a lowercase a. You could provide find with the path of slash opt, use dash iname to ignore case, and look for Apache. So if you enter the command find slash opt dash iname Apache, it would return slash opt slash web slash Apache with an uppercase A. To find all the files in user slash local that end in conf or conf, which is a configuration file, you would use find slash user slash local dash name asterisk conf. This would probably return two files under the slash user slash local slash etc directory, dhcpd.conf and httpd.conf. If you're looking for files that are more than 10 days old, but less than 13 days old in the current directory, you can use the following command. Find dot dash mtime plus 10 dash mtime minus 13. If you wanted to find files that start with an S and perform an ls on them, you would use the following. Find dot dash name and quote s asterisk end quote dash ls. The dash size argument to find takes a number followed by a letter that represents the unit of space. The following are valid options. C for bytes. K for kilobytes, which are units of 1024 bytes. Uppercase M for megabytes, that is units of 1,048,576 bytes. Or uppercase G for gigabytes. This is units of 1,073,741,824 bytes. Here's an example of how to find files that are larger than 300 megabytes. You would type in find dot dash size plus 300 capital M. Here is how you would find directories that are newer than a given file. In this case, you're looking for directories that are newer than b.txt. Find dot dash type d dash newer b.txt. On some occasions, you may want to run a command against a list of files. You can use the find command with the dash exec option to do this sort of thing. Use a pair of braces to act as a placeholder for the current file being processed. The command is terminated with the semicolon character. You need to either escape or quote the semicolon like this, with apostrophes, or like this, backslash semicolon. If you want to run the command file, file underscore name, on every file in the current directory, you would use the following command. Find dot dash exec file open and close braces backslash semicolon. As you can see, find is a really powerful tool, and it has even more features than you have seen so far. Take a look at the man page or refer to the links at the end of the chapter. Locate, a fast find. Every time you run the find command, it evaluates each file and returns the appropriate response. This can be a slow process at times. For instance, if you are looking for a file on the system and cannot narrow its location down to a subdirectory, you would run find slash dash name something. That command looks at each and every file on the system. If you know the file's name, or at least part of that name, and just want to know where it resides, the locate command is the right tool for that job. Locate pattern. This will list files that match your given pattern. Once a day, all files on the system are indexed by a process called UpdateDB. When you run locate, it is simply querying the index or database created by UpdateDB and not looking at each file on the system. This makes it really, really fast. The downside is that the data is not in real time. If you're trying to find a file you created just a few minutes ago, chances are it is not yet indexed, and locate will not find it. Also, locate can potentially return a file that matches your search, but the file may have removed from the system since the index was last updated. On some servers, locate is not installed or enabled, so your only choice may be to use find. Here's what it looks like when locate is disabled. Say you are looking for a file name called Bob. If you entered the command locate Bob, it would return an error saying locate /var/locatedb. No such file or directory. If it is enabled, you will get a quick response to your queries. Notice that you do not need to know the entire file name, just a portion works. For example, if you typed in the command locate tpsrep, you would get the subdirectory /home/bob/tpsreports, as well as the contents of that directory listed. For more information on the find and locate commands, as well as some information on the /etc/password file, visit our online companion at www.linuxtrainingacademy.com/LFB. Viewing and editing files. Here are some simple commands that display the contents of files to the screen. Cat, and then the file name. This will display the entire contents of a file. More, file. This will browse through a text file. Press the space bar to advance to the next page. Press the Enter key to advance to the next line. Type Q to quit viewing the file. Commands are based on the VI editor, which will be covered in the next section. Less, file. This is like more, but allows backward movement and pattern searches. Head, file. This outputs the beginning or top portion of the file. Tail, file. This outputs the ending or bottom portion of the file. This is how you might examine a file called file.txt with the commands cat, tail, and more. If you were to enter the command cat file.txt, it would give you the contents of the entire file. This is the first line. This is the second. Here is some more interesting text. Knock knock. Who's there? More filler text. The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. The dog was rather impressed. Roses are red, violets are blue. All my base are belong to you. Finally, the 12th and last line. Now, if you were to run head file.txt, it would give you the first batch of lines down to violets are blue. And you were to run tail file.txt, it would start from here is some more interesting text and run all the way to the end. If you were to type more file.txt, you would begin to browse through the text a little bit at a time. By default, head and tail only display 10 lines. You can override this behavior and tell them to display a specified number of lines. The format is -n, where n is the number of lines you want to display. So if you only want to display the first line of a file, you would use head -1, and then the file. Want to display the last three lines? Then run tail -3, file. For example, if you ran head -2, file.txt, you would get two lines. This is the first line, this is the second. And if you ran tail -1, file.txt, you would get the final line. Finally, the 12th and last line. Viewing files in real time. Using cat can be a fine way to view files that have fairly static content. However, if you're trying to keep up with changes that are being made in real time to a file, cat is not the best choice. A good example of files that can change often and rapidly are log files. For example, you may need to start a program and look at that program's log file to see what it is doing. In this case, you would use the command tail-f file. This command follows the file and displays data as it is being written to the file. Editing files. Nano. If you need to edit a file right now and do not want to spend any time learning obscure editor commands, use Nano. Nano is a clone of Pico, so if for some reason the Nano command is not available or working, Pico probably is. It's not as powerful as some other editors, but it's definitely easier to learn. When you start Nano, you will see the file's contents and a list of commands at the bottom of the screen. To run the commands, replace the little caret symbol with the control key. For example, to exit Nano, you would type Control X. Editing in Nano is quite easy. The up and down arrow keys will take you to the previous or next lines as expected. The right and left arrow keys let you navigate forwards and backwards on the same line. Simply type the desired text into the editor. To save the file, hit Ctrl-O. If you forget to save the file before you exit, Nano will ask you if you want to save the file. To learn more, type Ctrl-G within the program for help. Vi. While Nano is great for simple edits, Vi and Emacs have more advanced and powerful features. There is a learning curve to using these editors, as they are not exactly intuitive. It will require a bit of a time investment to become proficient. Let's start by looking at Vi. The command vi and then the file name will let you edit the file. The command vim, V-I-M, and the file name is the same as vi but with more features. The command view and then the file name starts vim in read-only mode. Use view when you want to examine a file but not make any changes. Vim stands for vi improved. It is compatible with the commands found in Vi. Some of the additional features of Vim include syntax highlighting, the ability to edit files over the network, multi-level undo and redo, and screen splitting. On many Linux distributions, when you invoke Vi, you are actually running Vim. One advantage of knowing Vi is that Vi, or a variant like Vim, is always available on the system. Another advantage is that once you learn the key mappings for Vi, you can apply them to other commands like man, more, less, view, and even your shell. Vi modes. Command mode. Vi has the concept of modes. You are always working in one of three modes: command mode, insert mode, or line mode. When Vi starts, you are placed into command mode. To get back to command mode at any time, hit the escape key. Letters typed while in command mode are not sent to the file, but are rather interpreted as commands. Command mode allows you to navigate about the file, perform searches, delete text, or copy and paste text. Here are some commonly used key bindings for navigation. K will move you up one line, J down one line, H left one character, L right one character, W right one word, B left one word. A caret, typically shift 6 on your keyboard, to go to the beginning of the line, and the dollar sign to go to the end of the line. Note that commands are case-sensitive. For example, if you want to move down one line, type a lowercase j. The uppercase j joins lines together. The original Vi editor did not employ the use of arrow keys. However, Vim does, so you may find that you can use arrow keys on your system. The advantages of learning the original key bindings are, first, they always work, and second, it's faster since your hand does not have to leave the home row. All of those keys, H, J, K, and L, are right next to each other, so you have left, up, down, and right, conveniently at your fingertips. Insert mode. To enter insert mode, press one of the following keys. A lowercase I will insert at the cursor position. Uppercase I will insert at the beginning of the line. A lowercase a will append after the cursor position. And an uppercase a will append at the end of the line. After entering into insert mode, type the desired text. When you are finished, hit the escape key to return to command mode. Line mode. To enter line mode, you must start from command mode and then type a colon character. If you are in insert mode, hit the escape key to get back to command mode, and then type a colon for line mode. Here are some of the most common line mode commands you will want to know. Colon W. This writes or saves the file. Colon W exclamation point. This forces the file to be saved even if the write permission is not set. However, this only works on files you own. Colon Q. This is the quit command. This will only work if there haven't been any modifications to the file. Colon Q exclamation point. This allows you to quit without saving changes made to the file. Colon WQ exclamation point. Write and quit. After modifying a file, this command ensures that it gets saved and closes Vi. Colon X. This is the same as colon WQ. Colon N. This positions the cursor at line N, with n being a number. For example, colon 5 will place the cursor on the fifth line in the file. Colon dollar sign. This positions the cursor on the last line of the file. Colon set nu. This turns on line numbering. Colon set no nu or nonu. This turns off line numbering. Colon, help, and then a subcommand. This gets you help. For example, if you want more information on the colon W command, you would type colon, help, colon W. Advanced editing with Vi. You can repeat commands in Vi by preceding them with a number. For instance, if you would like to move the cursor up 5 lines, type 5K. If you would like to insert a piece of text 80 times, type 80i and start entering the text. Once you hit escape to return to command mode, the text you type will be repeated 80 times. If you would like to make a line of asterisks, you would type 80i asterisk escape. Can you start to see how Vi is more powerful than an editor like Nano? Deleting text. X deletes a character. DW deletes a word. To delete 5 words, you would type D5W. The repeating concept in Vi shows up in many places. DD delete a line. To delete 3 lines, you would type 3DD. Uppercase D deletes from the current position of the cursor to the end of that line. Changing text. R. This replaces the current character. CW. Change the current word. CC. Change the current line. C dollar sign. change the text from the current position to the end of the line. An uppercase C acts the same as C dollar sign. And a tilde reverses the case of a given character, say from an uppercase G to a lowercase g. Copying and pasting. YY. Yank, that is copy, the current line. Y, and then the position. Yank the given position. For example, to yank a word, you would type YW. To yank three words, type Y3W. P. Paste the most recent deleted or yanked text. Undo and redo. Use U to undo and Control R to redo. Searching. Forward slash and then the pattern. This starts a forward search through the file for a given pattern. Question mark pattern starts a reverse search for that given pattern. Emacs. Emacs is another powerful editor. Some people really find themselves drawn to Vi, while others thoroughly enjoy using Emacs. It's a bit of a rivalry in the Linux world, actually, but experiment with Emacs and Vi to see which one works for you. You really can't make a bad choice, as they are both great editors. From the terminal, the commands Emacs and then a file will edit that file. When reading Emacs documentation, know that uppercase C and a character means to hold down the control key while pressing a given letter. For example, C-H means to hold down the control key while pressing the H key. If you see C-H-T, that means hold down the control key while pressing the H key. Release the control key, and then type the letter T. When you see an uppercase M, dash, and then a character, that means to hold down the meta key, which is generally the alt key on your keyboard, while pressing that character. You can also substitute the escape key for the alt key. So, M-F translates to holding down the alt key and pressing F, or pressing and releasing the escape key followed by typing the F key. You may need to use the escape key for the meta key, since alt may be intercepted by your terminal program, for instance. If you want to simplify things, always use escape for the meta key, as it will work in all situations. Here are some helpful Emacs commands. Control H, help. Control X and Control C. This is to exit the program. While holding down the control key, press X, and then continue to hold down the control key and press C. Control X followed by Control S. This will save the file. Control H followed by T. Emacs has a really nice built-in tutorial. Control H and then K and a particular key. This will describe the key. Use this to get help on a specific key command or key combination. Navigating. Control P, previous line. Control N, next line. Control B, back one character. Control F, forward one character. Meta key F, forward one word. Meta key B, backward one word. Control A, go to the beginning of the line. Control E, go to the end of the line. Meta key, less than sign, go to the beginning of the file. Meta key, greater than sign, go to the end of the file. Deleting text. Control D deletes a character. The meta key and D deletes a word. Copying and pasting. Control K. Kill or cut the rest of the current line of text. To kill the entire line, position the cursor at the beginning of the line. Control Y. yank, or paste from the previously killed text. Control X followed by the letter U. Undo. You can keep repeating this command for multi-level undo. Searching. Control S. Start a forward search. Type the text you are looking for. Press Control S again to move to the next occurrence. Press the Enter key when you are done searching. Control R starts a reverse search and works in the same fashion. Repeating. Like Vi, Emacs provides a way to repeat a command. Control U, N, and then a command. This will repeat command N times, with N being the number you specify. For instance, to kill three lines of text, you would type Control U, 3, Control K. You've only scratched the surface with the Vi and Emacs editors. There is so much more to learn if you're interested. Both editors have features that include macros, global replace, and more. Entire books have been written on each of these editors. Graphical editors. So far, you have learned about command line editors that are appropriate to use when you connect to a server via SSH. However, if you're running Linux as a desktop operating system, you might be interested in some graphical text editors and word processors. Here are some for your consideration. Emacs. Emacs has a graphical mode too. Gedit. This is the default text editor for the GNOME desktop environment. Gvim. The graphical version of Vim. And Kedit. The default text editor for the KDE desktop environment. If you are looking for a Microsoft Word replacement, consider AbbeyWord or LibreOffice. LibreOffice not only includes a word processor, but it is a complete office suite with a spreadsheet program, a database, and presentation software. If you're looking for a source code editor to aid in computer programming, look at Genie, spelled G-E-A-N-Y, Gedit, or Kate. Sublime Text is another option. This is a commercial product that runs on Windows, Mac, and Linux. Specifying a default editor. Some commands rely on the $editor environment variable to tell them which program to use for editing. Since cron's primary purpose is to schedule jobs, it delegates the task of editing files to another program. The crontab-e command invokes the editor specified by the $editor environment variable. You can set this variable in your personal initialization files to ensure that your favorite editor is used, be it Nano, Emacs, Vi, or something else. For example, if you typed in the command echo $editor, with editor being in all caps, it might return Vi, specifying that Vi is your default editor. For more information on Emacs, Vi, Nano, Vim, or even All Your Base Are Belong to Us, referenced in file.txt, visit our online companion at www.linuxtrainingacademy.com/LFB. Comparing files. If you want to compare two files and display the differences, you can use diff, spelled D-I-F-F, sdiff, or vimdiff. Say you have two files, file 1 and file 2. If you use the command diff, file 1, file 2, it will compare the two files. If you use sdiff, file 1, file 2, it'll compare the files side by side. And if you use vimdiff, file 1, file 2, it will highlight the differences between those files within the Vim editor. Let's go back to Bob for a second. Bob has two files, secret and secret.bak. Now he can use the cat command to list the contents of each file separately. In this case, both files are only 3 lines long, containing a username and a password, and a site for Facebook. With the diff command, what it does instead is compares the 2 files and lists the differences. In this case, if he typed in diff secret secret.bak, it would return 3C3, less than sign, pass, AB, 3 dashes for the line, and then the greater than symbol, pass, B, indicating that the passwords have changed. We'll go into more detail on that in a second. If you were to use the sdiff command in the same way, it would do the same thing, but it would list all 3 lines of both files side by side and indicate which ones are different. In the diff output, the text following the less than sign belongs to the first file. The text following the greater than sign belongs to the second file. The first line of the diff output actually provides some additional information. That's the 3C3 we were talking about. The first number represents line numbers from the first file, and the second number represents lines from the second file. The character in the middle, in this case C, separating the line numbers will be one of the following: C, meaning change, D, meaning deletion, or A, meaning an addition. In this example, the third line of the first file, secret, is changed from pass, AB, to the text on the third line in the second file, which is pass, B. In the sdiff output, the pipe character means that the text differs in the files on that line. You will also see the less than and greater than signs, but their meaning is slightly different with sdiff. The less than sign means that line only exists in the first file, and the greater than sign means that line only exists in the second file. Determining a file's type. There are clues as to what a file might contain. For instance, some files will have extensions. If a file ends in .txt, it is probably a text file. If a file has execute permissions, it might be a program. An easy way to determine the type of a file is to run the file command against it. If you use this format, file, and then the name of the file, it will display the file type. For example, if you were to enter file / etc / password, you would get the response back indicating that that file is ASCII text. If you were to do file asterisk, it would list the file type for every file and directory within your present working directory. Searching in files. Searching for text in ASCII files. If you are looking for text within a file, use the grep command, G-R-E-P. It goes in a pattern like this: grep, then the pattern you're looking for, and the file name. This will search for the pattern in the file. If you type in grep -v, the pattern, and the file, it will invert the match. In other words, it will return lines from the file that do not match that pattern. Here are some more common options to use with grep. -i. This will perform a search ignoring case. -c. That will count the number of occurrences in a file. So if you have a particular word and you want to know how many times it shows up in that file, you would use this. -n. Precede the output with the line numbers from the file. This is handy if you have a particularly large file and you're looking for specific instances and where they are. Searching for text in binary files. If you run grep against a binary file, it will simply display whether or not that information was found in the file, but it will not display the surrounding text. To look at textual data within a binary file, use the strings command in the format strings and then the file name. This will display printable strings in binary files. For example, If you used grep-i and your pattern is John, and the file is bluetrain.mp3, it will tell you binary file bluetrain.mp3 matches, indicating that the string is in there. Now, if you run the commands strings bluetrain.mp3 pipe grep-i John, it will return every instance of John, in this case, twice, the name John Coltrane. Pipes. You may have noticed that two commands have been chained together with a vertical bar, also known as the pipe symbol. The pipe means take the standard output from the preceding command and pass it as the standard input to the following command. If the first command displays error messages, those will not be passed to the second command. Those error messages are called standard error output. You'll learn how to manipulate the standard error output in the redirection chapter coming up later. Also notice that in the first occurrence of the grep command, the format of grep-i, pattern, and file name was used. In the second, the format of grep-i, pattern was used. In the first format, the input for grep came from the file name. In the second format, the input for grep came from the preceding command via the pipe. If you run strings bluetrain.mp3 by itself, a lot of text will be displayed on the screen. Instead of letting that text pass you by, you can feed it to grep-i John using a pipe. The result, as you could see, was that John Coltrane was found twice in the strings bluetrain.mp3 output. Pipes aren't just limited to two commands. You can keep chaining commands together until you get the desired result you are looking for. Let's feed the output from grep to head-1 to limit the output to just one line. So the entire command would read strings bluetrain.mp3 pipe grep-i John pipe head-1. And this would give you the first instance of John Coltrane. Let's say you only want to display the second word of the above output. You can use the cut command to accomplish that goal. In the format, cut, and then the file name. This would cut out selected portions of the file. If the file was omitted, it would use standard input. Cut minus D delimiter uses a delimiter as the field separator. And cut dash F N displays the nth field, with N substituted for whatever number you decide. To extract Coltrane from John Coltrane, use a space as the delimiter, as in dash D and space within single quotes, and print the second field, dash F 2. The space was quoted, since spaces are typically ignored by the shell. Single quotes or double quotes work the same in this situation. So if you type in the command strings bluetrain.mp3 pipe grep-i John pipe head-1 pipe cut dash D a space within quotes, dash F, 2, it will output Coltrane. You will find that there are many small commands that do just one thing well. Some examples are awk, awk, cat, cut, format or FMT, join, less, more, NL, PR, sed, sequence or SEQ, sort, TR, and unique, spelled UNIQ. Let's take an example using some of those commands and chain them together with pipes. The /etc/password file, with password spelled PASSWD, contains a list of accounts on the system and information about those accounts. In this example, the goal is to find all of the users named Bob listed in this file and print them in alphabetical order by username in a tabular format. So if you were to run the command grep bob /etc/password, it would return every instance of the character set Bob within the file. To start refining this down, you would append commands to the listing with the pipe. Grep bob /etc/password pipe cut -f1,5-d:. You would get the result back with the usernames containing Bob and their real names, each column separated by a colon. So in this case, you would have Bob colon Bob, or Bob H colon Bob Hope. Let's reduce this even further. So if you enter the command grep bob /etc/password pipe cut -f1,5-d:, pipe sort, you will get the same output, but this time it will be arranged in alphabetical order. Next, you could type in the command grep bob /etc/password pipe cut -f1,5-d:, pipe sort, pipe sed sed, and in quotes /:/. The output from that search will look just like the previous one, except the colons will be removed between the username and their real name, and this time a separation will be given between the first and last names. Now, we'll separate it out further using the following command. Grep bob /etc/password pipe cut -f1,5-d:, pipe sort, pipe sed, and in quotes /:/ pipe column -t. This output will organize all of that information in alphabetical order, username, first name, last name, in tabular format, so you have three columns of information. This example shows the step-by-step thought process of how to go from one set of output and pipe it as the input to the next command. If you need to perform this action often, you could save the final command for later use. As you can see, this simple concept of piping makes Linux extremely powerful. Pipe output to a pager. Another common use of pipes is to control how output is displayed on your screen. If a command produces a significant amount of output, it can scroll off your screen before you have the chance to examine it. To control the output, use a pager utility such as the more or less commands. You've already used those commands directly on files, but keep in mind, they can take redirected input too. If you typed in grep bob /etc/password pipe less, it would show you a shortened list of the results for Bob within that file. Deleting, copying, moving, and renaming files. Removing files. Eventually, you will get tired of all the old files you created just laying around, cluttering up your home directory, and taking up precious space. To delete them, you would use the rm command, in the context, rm, and then the file name. This removes the file. The command rm-r, and then a directory name, will remove the directory and all of its contents recursively. So if you want to remove a directory with rm, you have to supply the -r argument. rm-f, and then the file name, will force a removal and never prompt for confirmation. Search patterns can actually be used to delete multiple files at once. It's a good idea to double-check what you are going to remove with ls before you execute rm. So within a given directory, if you typed in ls S star. In this instance, it would return sales-lecture mp3, sales.data, secret, and secret.bak. Now, if you type in the command rm s star, and then ls-d.star, you would get ... that is the current and parent directories respectively, .profile, and .bash_history. Now, if you typed in the command rm.star, you will get two error messages indicating that rm cannot remove dot and dot dot, since those are directories. However, if you did ls-d.star again, you would see there are no contents in that directory. Again, note that rm.star will not remove the current directory or the parent directory. That's a good thing. Copying files. To copy files, use the cp command. If you want to create a copy of a file, you can run cp source file destination file. You can also copy a file or a series of files to a directory by using cp, the file name or names, and then the directory you're sending them to. Here are some examples of the common format. cp source file destination file. This copies the source file to the destination file. cp source file 1, and so on and so on, however many source files you have, destination directory. This will copy those given files to a particular directory. cp-i, source file, destination file. This runs cp in interactive mode. If the destination file already exists, cp will prompt you before it overwrites the file. cp-r, source directory, and the destination directory. This copies the source directory recursively to the destination. If the destination exists, you copy the source directory into the destination. Otherwise, it creates the destination with the contents of that source directory. Let's look at some examples. If you use the command cp file1 file2, you are copying the contents of file1 into